Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're talking, and I have a humdinger of a question that's going to win the award for this book, I Rules. And it's a great book, I Rules, by Janelle Burley Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N-N. It's out by RodaleBooks.com, Rodale, R-O-D-A-L-E, Books.com. And this should be a number one New York Times bestseller. No doubt it is so wonderful, but the question is great because I don't think it's probably been pitched to adults, and adults need I Rules too. And this is of a 60 plus year old person who is saying, I'm having an affair. I'm widowed essentially, and I'm having an affair with a woman, and I don't want my kids to know about it, but I'm getting sexed, if you will. Sexting is going on between the couple. And he said, or she said, do I need to, I've told him to stop, he won't. Do I have to cut off the relationship? I don't want to do that. Or should I just get a different phone that has different passwords and that I never show my kids and that has all these sexts on it?
Okay, so this is a really interesting question. Yes, this is really interesting because we have to think of the technology discussion as a discussion about health and wellness, that it really is up there with those how we feel as a whole person. And so if the person receiving the sex message, regardless of age, does not want to be receiving them and has asked for them to stop, then it's not stopping, it's the sending keeps happening, then that's a boundary being crossed. That's a relationship I would want to reassess. Because just like we would want to teach our children and teach our teens that when we say no, when we say enough, when we say stop, that even adults have to follow these rules. And so there are certainly ways to have, you know, flirting and be playful and be sexual, high-functioning adults. But when something crosses a line to make us uncomfortable and our partner in the relationship can't hear that, then we need to reassess everything in that regard. And that would be my advice there. And also, I think if this was something that they wanted to keep up and share flirty texts or sexual texts and conversations over the phones and didn't want children or other people to see them, I mean, there's certainly ways we can password protect that and all of that. But I like to tell people to really use the technology in a way that if somebody did pick it up, that is accidental, we wouldn't be humiliated, we wouldn't be embarrassed, they wouldn't find out information we wouldn't want them to hear, and that we're using it in a way that feels good and that feels healthy and that we've said yes to the way we want to use it. So absolutely take a step back and say, do I even want to be receiving these messages? And if I don't, I need to make that very clear and maybe make it even a change in the relationship if that person can't hear me and can't respect that boundary. And then secondary, even if we agree to send flirty texts, how do I want to protect this and how do I want to integrate this in my life? Does it feel comfortable? Do I want to, you know, do I want to be doing it? And these are questions we ask ourselves. And then certainly if we're parents, we're teaching our kids to listen to themselves too.
Now, the other part of this, and there's another one about this, which is, do I get, and this is answered in the book, but this is another question, the runner-up, if you will, for the book, but this was the question about, do I insist on my kids giving me passwords, their passwords, and if I do, do they get my passwords in return? That's what they said, it should be equal. Is that true? And I know you come to this in the book, so what's the decision in the book?
Well, here's the interesting thing about passwords. Passwords, we're talking about privacy, we're talking about trust. It makes people very emotional to talk about passwords. So I think that we need to know ourselves and know our families and how we want to parent the passwords. I do not think that because we have our children's passwords that they need to know ours. I don't think it has to be that way. We are the leaders of our family. We're adults. We're probably paying the bills here. So I don't think it's necessary. But I really think it is a good idea to have a sense of where our kids are, what their usernames are, and what their passwords are. And we have to know our child as individuals, their tendencies. How closely do we want to monitor this? What are they, risk takers, or do they not really pay that much attention to their phone? I mean, there's so much to consider here, but having the passwords, whether we look at our children, you know, whether we tech monitor or not, just having them is a good idea in case we need to access information, and in case something happens that we never anticipated in our... we go to the dialogue first and we can't get information from our kids, that we can be there as a default. And there are very simple ways we can do that. A simple solution is creating a password logbook in the home where the kids just keep track of it. It doesn't have to be this big, huge situation and a big fight and a big struggle. That kids know when they get an account somewhere, they write down their username or they write down where the account is and then they add the password with it, just so the parents can guide the children. I think that's the key here, is that we want to be the tech guides for our kids, just like we want to teach them how to drive. So we'll send them to driver's ed and we'll do driving practice hours with them. We want to be the ones leading our kids here.
Well, the book has so many wonderful parts in it. I almost don't know where to go, but one of them, if you will, is the concept of slow tech parenting. So what do you mean by slow tech parenting? And tell us a little more about how you came to that conclusion.
Certainly. So the slow tech parenting is this idea that we can use the technology in balance in our lives, whether we're parenting or whether we're individuals, professionals, however this applies. We call it the slow tech lifestyle or philosophy, that when we use the technology mindfully, deliberately, when we use it with purpose, we use it for its highest good. And it's with intention, just like if we think about the slow food movement, right? Taking our time, knowing where our food comes from. So it's this idea that we're bringing a heightened level of awareness to our tech use. And so with that, we can have it in our lives. We can integrate it into our days. Certainly we can live what I call a tech positive life, where we might share music with our kids or be able to FaceTime with family across the country. And those are really great aspects of it that none of us would agree to go away, personally or professionally. There's a lot of wonderful things about the technology, but there are a lot of things where it sucks up our time or it invades our sleep, and we want to set boundaries around that, and that's where the slow tech philosophy and lifestyle come into play. And so there are lots of strategies to begin this, whether it's a few hours of device-free family time or doing device-free dinners, having a house rule like that where even the adults put their phones away, the iPads go away, and if it's 20 minutes, everybody sits down device-free and checks in. That's an example of the slow tech lifestyle. So it's bringing deliberate tech use and not just going to it as a default or every time we're bored or using it not with integrity.
Janelle, can I have you?
Sure.
I've got to interrupt because we have a hard stop. But can I have you stay around for, say, 3 or 4 minutes in the next hour? It starts at six after. We have the news first. People who only get this hour on their home phone can always, on their home station, can always listen to it at radiomd.com in the archives. But can you stay around for a few minutes after the hour?
Sure.
Great. We're talking to Janelle Burley Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N-N, the Irish.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.